Blog Talk Radio.
All right, all right. This is Watchmen on the Wall. This is LG Bazaar coming on Wednesday night, 9 o'clock. We're on, and we're going to talk about the good news. The good news, the good news, the good news, the good news. Jesus Christ is coming back. Oh, yes, he is. I'm telling you tonight. Amen. And you know how I am. Amen. He may come back tonight in a moment of a twinkling of an eye. The dead in Christ, may come up out of the graves, and we that remain alive shall be caught on the midnight train going to glory. Amen. But we don't know what hour. We don't know what day. We don't know what minute or what second. And Jesus said, no man knows the hour. No man knows the day. Nothing but the Father. Amen. But we know one thing. It is an appointed time. Amen. We're getting closer and closer and closer every minute, every second, every day, every month. Closer and closer, the rapture of the church is just round the bend. The church of the glorious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the redeemed one that have been born again, sanctified by the Holy Ghost, looking for the return of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, might be gone within, this next month is coming up, because it's going to be September the 1st. And I'm going to tell you now something about September and October and November. Those are some critical months down through history. Down through history, from the first time God instituted the appointed days and the appointed feasts. Amen. And now we at the last three appointed feast days that's supposed to occur, and that is the Feast of the Trumpet, the Feast of Yom Kippur, and the Feast of Tabernacle. We are in it, sisters and brothers. Let me tell you, the church is almost out of here. Woo! I'm not talking about a Pacific church. I'm not talking about the Baptist, the Presbyterian, the Catholic. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the church that Jesus Christ purchased with his own blood, because he's going to get his church. Oh, yes, he is. He's going to get his church. He's going to get his body, and he's going to take his body out of this catastrophe modern technology age where the devil, amen, is trying to destroy the body of Christ. But he can't do it. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. He can't do it. He can try all he wants. Amen. The only ones that he's going to get is those that refuse Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Before we get into the word, I want you to bow your heads in prayer, and we're going to get right down to the nitty-gritty. Father, we come in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your mercy. We come here because we know that you are God, and besides, there is no one else. We thank you, Lord, for your son, Jesus Christ, the one that died on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. He has never changed. He will never change. He's the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Lord, use my lips of clay. Let me hide behind the cross of Christ, that I may break the word of God, that men, women, boys, and girls may come to know you and the pardon of their sins. In Jesus' name, the church say amen. Hallelujah. This is Elder Bazaar. This is Watchman on the Wall. Amen. So glad to be with you this afternoon, this evening. Amen. We are going to talk about the Word of God. The Word of God. We're going to talk about who Jesus is and that he's coming again very soon. The world is on his last leg. It's in intensive care. Amen. And it needs a blood transfusion. And I'm not talking about a physical transfusion like men give. I'm talking about a divine transfusion from the shed blood of Jesus Christ hanging on the cross. He done hung. He done bowed his head and died. He been put in the grave. He done been in the grave for 3 nights and 3 days. And he got up on what? The third day. Oh, he got up on the third day morning, Sunday morning. He got up out the grave with all power in heaven and in earth in his hand. Let me tell you, it's church time. It's time to hear the word of God. It's time to hear from the book from Genesis to Revelation. It's time to rightly divide the word of truth. Amen. And let the people know, amen, that Jesus Christ is the word. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, this is Watchman on the Wall, End Time Global Link Ministry. This is the year. This is the year. Never a year has been like 2022. No other year has been like 2022. It's been devastated. Amen. There's all kind of things going on in the satanic world. Amen. And things are going on in the church world, in God's church, because God is saving people today. Amen. You might not hear much about it, but God is saving people from around the world. There are ministries around the world. There are techniques and technology and all kinds of ways that God's gospel is going to get out to the world. But here this evening, we want to let you know what we are teaching here on this year, Watchman on the Wall. We are teaching that Jesus Christ is God Almighty in the flesh. We teach that Jesus Christ was born of a Virgin Mary. We teach that Jesus Christ came here on earth 2,000 years ago. We teach that Jesus Christ did miracles. We teach that Jesus Christ suffered for our sins on Calvary's cross. He was put in the grave. He stayed there 3 days and three nights. He got up on the third day morning with all power in heaven and earth. He stayed up on this earth for 40 days and 40 nights. That's what we teach. We teach that he came here, stayed up on the earth after the resurrection of the Son of God, and then he went back to heaven. He told the disciples, go back down to Jerusalem, and I'm going to send you some power from on high, and I'm going to send you the Holy Ghost, and you shall be a witness for me to the utmost parts of the earth. And that's been 2,000 years ago, and the 2,000 years is almost up for the church. It will not be the end of the world when the church is going to be raptured up. That's not the end of the world. That is the end of the church age. The church age has been on this earth for 2,000 years. The church is almost finished with the work that God has called them to do. And I'm sad to say, the church has failed God. Some preachers have failed God. Some members have failed God to let the world know who Jesus Christ is. He is God Almighty in the flesh. And when he became flesh, he dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten Son of God. And Jesus Christ has been gone from this earth for 2,000 years. And I've been on this earth for 77 years. And there's people that have died, and people have been born, people have died, people have been born, and the world is still going on, and the church age is still here, but the church age is almost over because we are living in the Laodicean church age, the last church age. And the church age that we're living in is a hypocritical, backbiting, it's in a mess. It's in a mess. Preachers are in a mess. Deacons are in a mess. Church members are in a mess. They're in a mess. They are not looking for the return of Christ. And the church is the main one that should be looking for the return of Jesus Christ. And the church is not looking for it. Preachers are not preaching it. They're not preaching from Genesis to Revelation to Malachi to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're not preaching the first and second Corinthians, and they're not teaching the epistles. They're not teaching the book of Jude, and mainly they're not teaching Revelation. Revelation is here. We're not in the tribulation now, but we are on the edge of what? The entrance into the tribulation period. And the tribulation period cannot start. Listen to me now. The tribulation period cannot start until the body of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, guess what, is raptured up. Who said it's going to be raptured up? Well, let's go to Thessalonians and see who said it was going to be raptured up. In the book of what? Second Thessalonians. Let's look in there and see what we can find. Amen. In the fourth chapter, a very, very, very impressive book. 1 Thessalonians, the fourth chapter, starting at what? Starting at the 10th verse. The 10th verse says, and indeed ye do it towards all brethren, which are in Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business, to work with your own hands, as we commend you. That listen, that ye may walk honestly towards them that are without. In other words, walk righteous before those that are without salvation. Walk before them that they can see. They can see that you are a unique person. Let them see that you know Jesus Christ. You don't have to publish it. Just walk it. Just talk it. Live it, what you claim to be. Those that are without may be amazed at the lifestyle that you have, and that is a righteous lifestyle. He says, now, that ye may walk honestly towards them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. But I would not have you ignorant. Don't be ignorant. Church members, don't be ignorant. Don't go off on a crazy tangent. Apostle Paul said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Those that are in the grave, listen, those that are in the grave, dead. That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. There's people dying without any hope. There's people dying every day without no hope. Why? Because they have refused to receive Christ in their life. They refuse to look at the signs of the times. They refuse to recognize that the end time is here. The last days are here. And they're not redeeming the time because the days are evil. He said, don't be sorrowful. Don't be sorrowful. If you're a saint of God and loved one die in your family and they say, don't be sorry. Amen. Be happy. Be happy. Amen. That they made it in by the blood of Jesus Christ. Not by them just going to church. Not by them just paying their tithes and offerings. Not because they're good looking, but because they have received Christ in their life. And he said, don't sorry. Don't be sorry. Even as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, those that died in Jesus, those that died receiving Christ before they died, those that repented of their sin and came to Jesus Christ before they left this planet. Because if you leave this planet without Jesus Christ, you want to die and you want to lift up your eyes in hell. Because let me tell you, without the shed and the blood, there is no remission of sin. Except a man repent, except a man turn from his wicked ways and receive Christ and be baptized with the Holy Ghost, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive, we that are living now, we that are living, remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. I'm not going to stop those from coming up from the grave because I'm alive. Because when Christ comes back, he's going to come back and raise the righteous dead, raise the saved from the grave. And we are going to meet in him in the air. And we that remain alive, we that walk in the earth today, we that have been born again, saved and sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, proclaiming the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. There's going to be a shout after a while. Jesus Christ is going to shout with the voice of archangel and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those that are in the grave, those that have, amen, died in the Lord, those that have died with a redeemed soul, those that have been born again, those that have been sanctified by the Holy Ghost, those that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, will get up from the grave, and we, which are alive, remain, shall be caught up. We're going to be snapped up from the planet. We leave it here. We're getting ready to go, man. You ain't got no time to be trying to say what you're going to do tomorrow because you might not be here tomorrow. You may die tonight. You don't know that. I don't know if I'm going to die tonight. But if I was going to die tonight, I still would preach this gospel. I know that if I die tonight, amen, my soul will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air without the rapture being occurred. But let me tell you, when the rapture occurred, we that remain alive shall be caught up immediately in the twinkling of an eye, together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Apostle Paul is telling the church. He's telling the born-again believer. He's telling the sanctified one. Come on now. Y'all can talk about this. Talk about leaving this old planet, because this planet is rocking and rolling. It's getting hateful more and more each day. It's getting so bad that man is almost unfit to live in. My people are killing and murdering and raping. Men are going crazy. The love of many shall wax cold. There's wars, earthquakes, pestilence, and diseases is spreading the world around the world. There's a water shortage now, and there's a food shortage now. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse, my friend, my brother. Hey, man, going to church is all right, but going to church don't mean you going to heaven. You got to be born again. You got to come to Jesus Christ. And the only way you can come to him is you want to come. Because if you don't want to come, God is not going to push you. Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come to me. Come on, drunkard. Come on, liar. Come on, churchgoer. Come on, choir singer. Hey, amen. Quit putting on a big act. Amen. You may have a form of godliness, but you ain't got no power of the Holy Ghost in your life. And you've got to have the power of the Holy Ghost before you can ever live above sin. You got to live above sin. And the only way you can live above sin is through the power of the Holy Ghost, through the blood of Jesus Christ. You can't live above sin without Jesus Christ being in your life. You got to know Christ for yourself and nobody else. You got to meet Jesus for yourself. You can't just shake the preacher's hand. You can't believe everything the preacher tells you. You got to get in your Bible. You got to pray. You got to seek your salvation through Jesus Christ, because there is no other name given under heaven whereby men can be saved in the name of Jesus Christ. For at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. If you don't bow now, you're going to bow at the end of time, because the time is running out. It's running out so fast, it's making your head spin. This is the last day in what? This is the last day in August. Tomorrow is September the 1st. And that is an appointment month. That is the month of the Feast of the Trumpet and the Feast of Yom Kippur and the Feast, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. The next 2.5 months are going to be fulfilled. If it don't be fulfilled this year, I guarantee you it'll be fulfilled the year coming. But let me tell you, this is the last year that man has the opportunity to come to Jesus Christ. Because after the rapture of the church, the church will not be here to witness anymore. The church will not be here to witness to the world anymore. The church has been witnessing to the world. I'm making an effort to witness to the world the last 2,000 years. Last 2,000 years from 35, 36 AD until 2022. That's a long time. That's a long time. That's a lot of months, a lot of days, a lot of hours, and it's 2 millenniums. It's 200 years. 200 years. Multiply. Multiply. 1,000 years is 10,100 years. In other words, take 10 and times 100 equals 1,000. And that's been 2,000 years since the church has been here. And now we're living in the last church age. This is the last church age, sisters and brothers. Oh, how I love you so much. I'm trying to tell you something. This is the last church age, Laodicea. And this church that Laodicea is composed up of is hypocritical, backbiting, slothful, unregenerated people who is trying to claim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and they don't know nothing about him. They don't have the love. They don't have the joy. They don't have the peace. They don't have the understanding of what's going on. They don't know nothing about the cross. In fact, they're denying the cross anymore. They don't sing blood songs no more. They don't tell the world Jesus Christ died on Calvary. They're talking about motivation speeches. They're talking about money. They're talking about how much they got. They're talking about all the world conditions and hoping to get better. But it's not going to get better because the devil knows that he had a short time and he's seeking and roaring like a lion who he may devour. Because the devil didn't come nothing to do but three things: kill, rob, and destroy. And that's what he's doing. He's trying to destroy the church. But Jesus Christ already verified, certified, sanctified, edified, and he said, up on this rock, I'm going to build my church, and I'm going to build it out of every nationality on the planet. I'm going to build it out of black folks, white folks, Chinese, Japanese. I'm going to build it out of Jews. I'm going to build this church. Amen. And when I build this church, it's going to take my blood to build this church, because nothing else could build a church but the blood of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ's blood is the only blood that can save humanity from sin, death, hell, and the grave. And if you die in your sin, then hell will be your home. Why do you want to go to hell? There's nothing in hell, but yet still people believe that I'm going to have a joyful time here and live wicked and then die and go to hell. Well, you're a lying wonder. You're a lying wonder. The devil knows. He knows. Satan knows he can never come back in the presence of God anymore. Lucifer is done, my brothers and sisters. And he has his imps, he has his fallen angels, and he's the prince power of the air, according to the 6th chapter of Ephesians. He's the power prince of the air in high places, and he's the god of this age. You hear what I said? He rules this age. He rules this age with false gods. And people are worshiping false gods. They're worshiping sex. They're worshiping drugs. They're worshiping drinking. They're worshiping whorish. They're worshiping whoremongering. They're worshiping in adultery. They're worshiping everything other than God Almighty. And the Bible says, the Lord God said, don't have no other God before me. Don't you worship nothing else but me. The Lord God said, I am a jealous God. Don't have no other God before me. And people today got all kind of low-down, dirty, rotten gods. Gods of sex. God of homosexuality. God of lesbianism. God of incest. They're worshiping that. They're praising that. They're giving those gods the praises instead of the God of the heaven. The one that made the heaven and earth. The one that came down here through 42 generations. Died and suffered on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. They won't worship him. They won't honor him. But there's a day coming. There's a day coming, my friends, that those that are laughing now, those that are rejecting Jesus Christ, those that said that they don't need salvation, they say, well, we don't need no Jesus Christ. In fact, if we could get rid of him, we could rule the world. That's what the devil is saying. That's what the devil want to do. And I'll let you know right now, the devil is going to rule this world. It's in the making right now. It's been in the making ever since the beginning of creation. Satan wants to rule this world, and God is going to give him the opportunity and the privilege to become the god of this age, because the world is saying, that's who we want to be our God. We want the God of lust. We want the God of lying. We want the God of homosexuality. We want the God of lesbianism. We want the God of the incest. We want the God of iniquity, because man loves sin. And if you love sin, you cannot love God. You got to hate sin. I mean with a passion. You got to hate sin in order to please God. The only way you can please God and show him that you hate sin is to repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And the Bible says, thou shalt be saved by his grace. Saved to the utmost. Saved from sin, death, hell, and the grave. This is Brother Bazaar. This is Elder Bazaar. I don't know how much longer I can be on this air. I don't know when the Lord's going to take me out of here. Now, I know what you're saying. You're saying, well, he done lost his mind. He's crazy. He don't know what he's talking about. He's been doing this ever since 2012. Yes, I have. And I've been doing it ever since 1965, preaching this same gospel for 57 years. And a lot of people say, well, I've been calling wolf. I'm crying wolf, wolf, wolf. Well, I'm not crying wolf. I might be crying wolf, but there's a day coming when the wolf's going to stop crying and the world going to be shocked to the core when the glorious church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is raptured up. When the rapture occurs, then the Antichrist will appear. And if the Antichrist is going to appear after the rapture, then the Antichrist must be alive today. Well, I'm here to tell you, Brother Bazaar knows the scriptures. Brother Bazaar have studied the scriptures. Brother Bazaar have prayed over the scriptures. Let me tell you, the Antichrist is here today. He is alive. He is waiting for the event to happen, and it may happen this September on the Feast of Trumpets, because the Bible prophecy is being fulfilled right now in Israel and around the world. The nations of the world is mustering up for war. The nations of the world is getting prepared for war, because there is going to be a war during the tribulation period. Yes, it is. It's going to be a war like never before. And you can call it the war of Gog and Magog, Meshach and Tubal. It will be the war mentioned in the book of Revelation at the 6th chapter, at the 2nd verse, where he says, I saw a red horse. I saw a red horse, and he had a great sword in his hand. Well, that's the war of Gog and Magog. Gog and Magog is the interpretation of Russia in the Bible. Russia has already taken Ukraine. They're bombing it. They're trying to get control of it, which they already got control of it. And now Ukraine is in danger of them hitting the uranium pump. The Ukraine is getting ready to be hit by a bomb. And if they hit that, it's going to pollute the whole country. And that whole country will be what? Quarantined. Because if they hit that uranium is going to be spread all over Ukraine. If Russia hit that, and they are going to attack it again until they get what they want. And then that's going to give them a position to make a gateway, a beeline from Moscow to go down in Jerusalem. That's where Russia is headed. That's what Russia wants. That's what Russia is going to make an attempt to conquer Jerusalem. Jerusalem has always, all through history, they wanted to be conquered by the Gentile nations. And now Russia is going to plot an evil thought found in the book of the 38th chapter and the 39th chapter of Ezekiel. They are plotting to come down upon Israel and conquer the land, because they need all the materials in Israel. They need the water. They need the potash, which is a fertilizer. They need the cattle and the food. They need the weather. They need the weather to grow food. They want Jerusalem, and Putin is working at gathering what? He is working at gathering five nations to come down upon Israel. In the book of the 38th chapter, let's see what Ezekiel said the nations says which is going to make an attack upon Israel. In the 38th chapter of Ezekiel, it says, the word of the Lord came into me, saying, son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say unto him, the Lord God, behold, good God Almighty, God said, behold, I'm against thee, O God, chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. God said, I'm against you, Russia. I'm against you because you are going to try to do something that you ain't going to never be successful at, and that is go down and conquer Jerusalem and mess with my people. But you mess with God's people, you're messing with God's eye, the apple of his eye. Look what the third, fourth verse says. This is what God's going to do. Amen. He said, I will turn thee back and put hooks in thy jaws. I will bring thee forth and all thine armies, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. These are the nations are going to come down with Russia, Persia, which is Iran, Ethiopia, Libya, with them, all of them with shields and helmets. We got Gomer, which is Germany, and all his bands, the house of Togarmah, which is Turkey, and the North Quarters, and all his bands, and many people with thee. Be thou prepared and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. This is Russia, confederacy, with 500 nations that's going to join with these nations right now. They're doing it right now. They're planning all right now. It's in progress right now. You ain't hear nothing about it, but it's going on because the world is what? Dumbfounded. They're dumbfounded on what's getting ready to happen. Because it's going to be Iran, it's going to be Ethiopia, it's going to be Libya, it's going to be Gomer, it's going to be Togarmah, it's going to be five Confederate nations that come down with Russia, within the next, what? I believe in the next 6 or 7 months. You hear what I said? 6 or 7 months. Because they already got the plan to do what they want. They already got the Arabs in the Ukraine valley coming in between the Ukraine and Russia. They're going to have a band of armies. You hear what I said? Armies. That's going to move down up on the valley and the holy mountain of Israel. The seventh verse says, be thou prepared and prepare thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled to thee, and be thou a guard unto thee. And here Ezekiel saying this in the 8th verse. This is what Ezekiel said. This is what Ezekiel said and was inspired to say, and God put the words in his mouth. He said, after many days thou shalt be visited in the latter years. Now, Ezekiel, at this time, when he wrote this prophecy, he was in Babylon. And from Babylon 606 B.C. all the way to 2021, there's going to be many days. And in the latter years, and the latter years is now. The latter years is 2022. The latter days is 2022. We're living in the last day, and it's been 2,600 years ago when Ezekiel made this prophecy, but now we're living in the very end that this year prophecy will be fulfilled. Listen to what it says. After many days, thou shalt be visited. In the latter years, thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountain of Israel, which have been always waste. But it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. The nation of Israel has been brought back in 1948 until 2022. Israel is brought back. Israel is in the land. The Israelites are coming back in the land. They are planning to what? Restore the rightful sacrificial offering by building a temple. They got everything together. They are working and looking for the Antichrist. They are waiting for the Antichrist. They are getting ready for the two red heifers. They are getting ready for the priesthood. They are getting ready for the menorah and all the utensils that they're going to use to try to bring back Judaism. And they're looking for the Antichrist to come and sign a peace treaty that they have the privilege of to try to restore Judaism. They're trying to restore Judaism. Well, Judaism is no longer in power. Jesus Christ came from Judah. Jesus Christ came down here to eliminate Judaism, not to destroy the law, but through the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ to fulfill the law. And the law is, man is worthy to die. Man is supposed to die. Man is supposed to be cut off. But God's mercy, God's love, God's long-suffering, Apostle John wrote, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. Christ fulfilled the law. The world should have been destroyed a long time ago, but God loved the world so much that he gave his son and brought man under grace. Now we're not living under the law. We're not guided by the law. We're living by faith in Jesus Christ because Christ fulfilled the law. What the law could not do, the law can't save nobody. The law was a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. Now we have been led to Christ because the law tells us that we are sinners and we are exceedingly sinful and we need a Savior. And Jesus Christ made preservation, amen, to come down here and suffer for mankind, that through his blood, through his sacrifice, through his death, and through his resurrection, man can come to Jesus Christ. And man is telling the world, is telling God Almighty, we don't want Christ. We want to live our own life. We just want to be good churchgoers. We just want to do the motion of serving God. But we really don't want to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We just want to have religion. And no religion is qualified man to go to heaven. None. Because Jesus Christ is not a religion. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is definitely, absolutely a relationship. A relationship, a divine intimacy relationship with faith in Christ to save your soul and you become a Christian. A Christian means Christ-like. Christ, not Christ, but Christ-like. What is Christ like? Christ is love. Christ is mercy. Christ is joy. Christ is long-suffering. Christ is peace. Oh, my God. That's what Christ is. Christ is what? The love of God. And the love of God loved you so much, loved me so much, loved the world so much, he gave an ultimate sacrifice, not of bulls and goats and turtle doves, but he offered up himself. Why? Because he knew no sin, and by him knew no sin, he became a sin offering for us. He took our place on Calvary. He died for our sins on Calvary. Man wasn't qualified to die for himself. Man wasn't qualified to be nailed to a piece of timber and hanged for 6 long hours. Man was not qualified. He couldn't do it. And he can't do it today. He won't be able to do it tomorrow. And he won't be able to do it through eternity. He'll never do it because he's a sinful creature. He's a low-down, dirty, rotten, stinking sinner. I'm including myself. I used to be. I'm not no sinner no more. I'm a saint of God. I don't have no wings. I don't have no halo around my head. But I've been born again. I've been saved by God's grace. And by God's grace, I got it forever. The devil can't take it away. I can't walk out of it because I'm in the hollow of God's hand. And Jesus Christ said, no man can pluck you out of my Father's hand. When you receive Christ, you got Christ forever. You can't be unsaved no more. You only can be born once physically, and you only can be born once spiritually. And the new birth is a one-time, all eternal, cannot sin no more. Your soul is sinless. And since your soul is sinless, your soul is fit for heaven. Because of what? Listen to what I'm saying. Because of one thing, the blood of Christ. Because you accepted the blood of Christ. By faith, you believe that the blood of Christ is the only blood that can save your soul. And so you repent of your sin and you turn from that stuff. You turn from that lying, backbiting, warmonger, a sorcery. You turn from that idolatry. You turn from that unbelief and lying. Woo! And you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul. Because if you die without Jesus Christ in your life, if you leave this world without Christ in your life, you're going to hell. Your name on the church board, your name in the church book is not going to get you to heaven. Shaking the preacher's hand is not going to get you to heaven. Paying your tithes and offerings is not going to get you to heaven. Being a good boy or being a good girl or being a good grown-up or a bad grown-up ain't going to get you to heaven. You got to come to Christ. You got to repent. Luke 13:3, except a man repent, he shall likewise perish. Whatever you do before you die, don't die without Christ. And what I'm trying to tell you, don't go to hell. Don't go to hell because there is a hell, my friends. There is a hell. And anybody can go. And anybody is those that reject Christ. If you reject Christ and you die, and ain't no such thing as a good person or a bad person, I want to know if you're a saved person. If you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, have your soul been sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ? In that day, the World War III is getting ready to come up. World War III will be with Russia and the five nations that are plotting right now. If they're plotting right now, that means that the Antichrist is waiting for the Pacific moment for him to come on the scene. And the scene is when the trumps blow, the dead in Christ shall rise, and we that remain alive shall be caught to meet the Lord in the air. I don't care where you at, if you saved, and there's a lot of backsliders out there that's saved, but they don't go to church. They don't backslid. A backslider is not lost. Because Jesus Christ, Hosea, the prophets, in the book of Corinthians talks about chastisement for the believer that backslide. Don't you know God Almighty is married to a backslider? A backslider has salvation, but the relationship and the fellowship with Jesus Christ can only be correct and he come back to the Lord. But salvation is secure. Backslider cannot go to hell. The only ones that are going to hell is the hypocrite and the plain sinner.
A hypocrite is a person that says that they are saved. They say that they are filled with the Holy Ghost. They say that Jesus Christ died for them, but they have never accepted the atonement by repenting and being sorry for your sorry self, for trying to play like you know Jesus Christ, but you don't. You have no idea or know the power that's in the blood of Jesus Christ. You have no idea that when Christ died and suffered on Calvary, that was real. That was authentic. That was unique. They beat him. They almost mutilated him to a point that man could not even look upon his face. They beat him that men couldn't look upon him because they had disfigured him in every aspect of his body. Every joint, every muscle was out of place. And he cried out on Calvary, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he dropped his head between the locks of his shoulder and gave up the ghost and went down into hell and preached to those in prison and set the captives free and led them up out of the bowels of the earth after the resurrection and took them on to paradise, which now is in the presence of God Almighty. And that makes hell, like Isaiah quoted in 5:14, hell has enlarged itself because paradise is no longer in the bowels of the earth. It's in the presence of God. So hell has been enlarged. And the Bible says, and the proud and the pomp and the gainsayers and the liars and the cheat and the backbiters and the hypocrites are going to what? Are going to be cast in to hell itself and enlarged. We are in it. My friends, we're in it. This is Brother Bizarre, Watchman on the Wall, End Time Radio Ministry, in the net. Amen. I've been doing this for a long time, 57 years. Been calling out, walking and talking to people, preaching on TV a little bit, on the street, telling people, you better get ready because trouble is coming. There's going to be a judgment on this planet. For 7 years, God is going to judge the world. And this war that I'm referring to is found in, like I said, the 38th and 39th chapter. And he says this is what they're going to do. After many days, thou shalt be visited in the latter years. Ezekiel is saying in the latter years of the end time, down through 2022, thou shalt come into the land, and it brought back from the sword. Israel was brought back from the sword in 1948. It was re-established and became a nation. And from 1948 until this present day, Israel has been a nation for 70 years. 70 years, the Jews are in the land, and they're going to be coming back in droves during the tribulation period. They're going to be coming back, and they got a mission that's unbelievable. They got a mission that's going to turn the world upside down, and that word will be when Israel comes back and then grafted back to the olive tree, the Gentiles will be cut off, the church will be excommunicated into heaven, and the Jews are going to come back into the land. And in the 7th chapter of Revelation, John gives us an idea, gives us a focal point of exactly what's going to happen during the first part of the tribulation period, and that is the Jews are going to be reestablished in Israel, and they are going to have the last opportunity to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ for 3.5 years. What? What you say, preacher? I say the Jews are going to preach the gospel of the kingdom
for 3.5 years, found in the book of Revelation, the 7th chapter, where the angel stood on the four corners of the earth and preached. There was a roll call, and the roll call was 12,000 from each tribe. Each tribe is consisted of the 7th chapter of Revelation. Out of the tribe of Judah, there would be 12,000. The tribe of Reuben, 12,000. The tribe of Gad, 12,000. The tribe of Asher, 12,000. The tribe of Nephilim, 12,000. The tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. The tribe of Simeon, 12,000. The tribe of Levi, 12,000. The tribe of Issachar, 12,000. The tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. The tribe of Joseph, 12,000. The tribe of Benjamin, 12,000. Which equals 144,000 Jewish male evangelists. And their message is Jesus Christ died and rose again, and he's coming back to set up, listen to me now, he's coming back to set up the millennial kingdom. The millennial kingdom is the last 1,000 years dispensation that God is going to deal with man, because he already has dealt with 6 millenniums under 6 conditions. What are the 6 conditions, Elder Bazaar? The 6th condition is, the first condition was innocent. That was doing Adam and Eve. They failed that. The second was conscious. And that was during the time of Noah. And they failed that. The next one, self-government at the Tower of Babel. They failed that. The next one was law. They failed that at Mount Sinai. The next condition was promise. They failed that at the birth of Jesus Christ. The next one, grace, the church age. They failed that because the grace of God is so loving and so merciful that man today has trampled over the grace of God and say, God's grace will take me on into heaven. But if you reject Jesus Christ, you rejecting the grace of God, and the world will tumble into a horrific disaster. And the last one of all is the test of unbelief, the millennium reign. And before God can bring the millennium reign on this earth, wicked man has to be destroyed. Wicked man will have to be separated from the righteous. And the return of Jesus Christ, this is where God is going to separate the wheat from the tares. He's going to say to the left, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. He's going to say to the ones on the right, come into my Father's house and have the blessings. And then the Lord is going to bring the world under his theocracy government. Hallelujah! He's going to bring the world under his influence of the Holy Ghost, and Jesus Christ will rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. That's the last test. And the last test, man failed that test. Proving to man that ultimately, listen to what I'm saying, ultimately, you can put man almost in a perfect environment, and he still will rebel against God Almighty. Proving to you that man is utterly depraved. He's sick. He's sick. He's sick in the mind when a man says there is no God. He's sick in the mind when he thinks he can go to heaven without accept Jesus Christ. He got a sick heart.
He done lost his mind if he think he can sin and then die and go to heaven. He's a lying wonder, because no sin will ever come into the presence of Almighty God. God is going to eliminate sin. That's the only way we can get rid of gun. That's the only way we can get rid of whole house. That's the only way we can get rid of fornication and prostitution. That's the only way we can get rid of child pornography. We got to eliminate all those that follow after Satan and go into a new age, the millennium age, where God will rule with the what? A rod of iron. Let's go back a little bit to this year's 38th chapter. Let's get some more information here so I can try to make it clear as possible as I can. And he says, after many days I shall be visited in the latter years and into the land that is brought back from the sword, Israel, and gather them out many people against the mountain of Israel, which have been always waste. But it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. God is going to bring Israel back into safety after this army is eliminated. Ninth verse. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Listen to what it's saying. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, and all thy bands, and many people with thee. Many people with thee. Many people will be. Thus says the Lord, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. This is the evil thought. The evil thought that Putin have, the evil thought that Gog and Magog have, the evil thought that Russia have, the evil thought that the five nations that's going to go with Russia, they're going to have an evil thought to take over the Middle East. Because Putin says, if I can get the Middle East, I can control the world, economical, political, and religious order. You got that? And they said, I will go up, 11th verse, I will go up and say to the land of unwalled villages, I will go to them that are at rest and dwell safely, all of them dwelling without wall, having neither bars nor gates. They're going to say, well, we don't have to worry about Israel no more. They don't have no walls. We're going to go up and we're going to take control of Jerusalem, and we're going to rule. And it says, and take spoil and take a prey to turn thy hand upon desolated places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, which have gotten cattle and goods and dwell in the midst of the land. Sheba and Dedan and the merchants and talkers and all the young lions thereof shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold and take away cattle and goods and take a great spoil? Well, the young nations will be the nations will have to stand by and see what Russia is doing. Because there won't be no nation that would defend Israel at this time. No nation will be able to stop this army that Gog and Magog will muster up. Nobody, not America, not no other country, not England, no other country, no nation will be able to stop this horrific army. You hear what I'm saying? No nation. America will not be able to defend Israel because America has backslidden into adultery, into idolatry, into drugs, into homosexuality. They have slid back. And they are not even considering who God is, the creator and maker of all things, the God of gods and the Lord of lords. America don't have that power like they used to. The churches don't have the power like they used to. Nobody won't call out and say, blow the trumpets in Zion. Wake up. Wake up. The Lord God of heaven is going to rule and reign. Prepare yourself to meet thy God. Now listen to what it says. They're going to take the cattle, goods, and take a great spoil. 14th verse says, Son of man, prophesy unto God. Thus says the Lord God, in that day when my people of Israel dwell safely, thou shalt thou not know it. And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north portion. Russia is the north of Jerusalem. It's coming down from the north. And thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. And thou shalt come up against my people. This is God talking now. My people as a cloud to cover the land. And it shall be in what? The latter days. The latter days. The latter days is 2022. We are living in the latter days. We are living at the close of the age. We're living at the close of the church age. For the body of Christ must be, got to be, need to be removed from this planet because it's been here the period of 2,000 years. And the 2,000 years is what? Is the time in which the church age got to close. Because God is not through with the church, but the church has fulfilled its ministry. And that is, go out into the world and preach the gospel, teaching and preaching, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That is the commission of the church, to win souls, win souls, win souls, preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out devils, restore people's blindness, restore people's relationship with Jesus Christ. Preach the word in season, out of season. Preach it when you don't want to hear. Preach it when you want to hear. Preach it when you get mad. Preach it when you get sad. Why? Because that's the only way for salvation to be acquired is through Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Listen to what it says. And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses in great company and mighty army. And thou shalt come against my people of Israel as a cloud, the land, and it shall be in the latter days, the end time. And I will bring thee against my land. This is God talking, that the heathens may know me. The heathens don't know God now, but they're going to know him. How are they going to know him? Watch this. Watch it. When I shall be sanctified, God said, I'm going to sanctify myself. I'm going to set apart myself from thee because y'all have profaned my name. You're going around talking about I'm dead. You're talking about people I don't exist. You're breaking my commandments, my ordinances. You're doing what you want to do. You're worshiping other gods. You're worshiping sex gods. You're worshiping drug gods. You're worshiping every god but me. And you have tried to put me on a level as your level. But I'm going to sanctify myself. I'm going to shake myself so tough, amen, that the whole world is going to know that I'm the God of heaven and the God of the universe. Look at what it says. Thus saith the Lord God, art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servants, the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days, many years, that I would bring thee against them? And it came to pass, and at that same time, when God shall come against the land of Israel, says the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. Now listen to this. This is awesome. For in my jealousy, God is a jealous God, and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel. Listen what it says. There's going to be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea and the fowl of the heavens and the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the earth and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence, and the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. And I will call for a sword against them throughout my mountain, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. This army that's coming down from the mountains, coming down from the north, they're going to get down there in the land of Israel, and God's going to cause a great shaking and a great earthquake, that the men are going to kill each other. 22nd, I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood. I will rain upon him and upon his band and upon many people that are with him, in an overflowing rain of great hailstone, fire, and brimstone. This is God's anger. God is angry at Gog and Magog. He's angry at Gog and Magog because these are heathen nations serving heathen gods, trying to defeat the God of Israel, nation of Israel, trying to get rid of the Jewish people, and you don't want to mess with the Jew. You don't want to mess with the Jew. Because Jews are God's chosen ones through Abraham. And Abraham was a man of faith, and God, and Abraham pleased God, and God imputed to him righteousness. And by his righteousness, he said, I'm going to let you become the father of many nations. And Israel come from Abraham. And Abraham was a great man because of his faith. And these people were raised by Moses and Joshua, and God himself was the great God that instructed Moses and all the prophets how to treat Israel. And now Israel is back in the land, and he said, I'm going to restore my people because they got a great mission to do at the close of the end time. 7-year tribulation. God said, I'm going to plead with them. Pestilence and blood. I'm going to rain upon them and upon his bands and upon many people that are with him. And an overflowing rain, a great hailstone, fire, brimstone. Thus I will magnify. God Almighty is going to magnify himself to the whole world. Lord, have mercy. God is going to magnify himself. To the whole round world. I will magnify myself, sanctify myself. I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. This is the third world war. This is the war that's on the horizon. This is a war that's going to take, it's going to be a 24-hour battle. Because God is saying, I'm tired of putting up with the heathen nations. I love the heathen nations. But they're heathenistic. They're serving other gods. They won't serve me. They won't serve the God of Abraham and the God of Jacob and the God of Israel. They won't serve him. They want to get rid of my people, but they can't get rid of them. And because they're trying to get rid of them, I'm going to rain pestilence and diseases and all kinds of horrific calamity upon them. And I'm going to shake the earth so bad and so awesome that every man, every child, every bird, every fish of the sea is going to feel this shaking. It's going to be dynamic. The 38th chapter of Ezekiel. And there's another chapter, the 39th chapter, tells you exactly when it's going to happen. It's going to happen during the tribulation period. It's going to happen after the rapture of the church. It's going to happen when the world will wonder what is going on. It's going to happen so dynamic that every human being up on the earth will recognize that there is a God, an almighty God, a God of love, a God of mercy, a God of justice is going to let them know exactly who I am on this little old celestial ball turning at 17.1 miles a second, spinning for 6,000 years. He held it in place, but now he's going to shake it like a bowl of jello. And men are going to be in terrified fear. This is going to happen, my friends. This is going to happen. It's going to happen in this generation because this is the last generation. This is the last opportunity that man is going to have at the close and the beginning of the seven-year tribulation. And I told you about the seventh chapter of Revelation, where the 144,000 will actually preach for 3.5 years the gospel of the kingdom. And they will preach until those that are left here after the rapture. Hear me now. Because people are going to be saved after the rapture through the preaching of the 144,000 Jews. It will be televised, it will be Instagram, it will be YouTube, it will be TikTok, it will be Facebook, it will be every internet technology that was spread around the world. People are going to witness it on their little cell phones and on their big screen TV set and on every state-of-the-art technology that man has invented ever since the time that Daniel said, in the end time, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Well, the knowledge is here already, and man has that capability to hear the gospel around the world in one day. Woo! It will be real. 38th and 39th chapter of Ezekiel gives you the picture of the World War III that will occur after the body of Christ is excommunicated from earth to glory. The tribulation period will last exactly 7 years. 7 years of judgment will be upon this earth. 7 years of God's mixing mercy with wrath. 7 years that men will hear the gospel through the Jewish people. And 7 years many folks will get saved. How do you know, preacher? Well, we don't cover the 38th chapter. Let's look at the 7th chapter again in Revelation and see what happened after the 144,000 preached the gospel of the kingdom. In the 7th chapter of the gospel that will be preached in the kingdom, we read this in the what? In the 9th verse, 7th chapter, 79. 79 is the tribulation saints. These are not nothing to do with the church. The church is already gone. At this point, the church is gone. The church is in heaven at this point. In fact, the church left glory in the fourth chapter, when John hears the trumpet. But in the seventh chapter, this is the effect of the 144,000 preaching in the ninth chapter. John said, and John wrote, and John inspiredly wrote, after this, after what? After the 144,000 get through preaching, here's what happened. After this, I beheld, lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindred and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white raiment and palms in their hands. These are the tribulation saints that was mortal, that was killed because of their faith in Jesus Christ after they had heard the gospel of the Jewish people preaching that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that he died and rose again, and that he's coming back to get, that he's coming back to set up the millennial kingdom. And John said, I cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and into the Lamb. And all the angels stood around and about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne and their faces and worshiped. Ooh, hallelujah. They worshiped God, saying, amen. They saying blessings and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving, honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever and ever. These are the tribulation saints that came through the last part of the great tribulation. It was saving time in the 3.5 years. But now it's going to be suffering time, and they're going to be beheaded for the belief and the trust and the love that they have for Christ and denying the mark of the beast, and was willing enough to go to death before they bow down to the beast. 13th verse says, and one of the elders, one of the 24 elders said, unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence did they come? The question was, where did these people come from, and who are they? Well, this is the one that was left here after the rapture that did not accept Jesus Christ during the church age of grace. Now, they had a decision to make, and they accepted Christ after the rapture. So these are called tribulation saints. These are the people who will go through the tribulation, whether they die or whether they don't die. These are which are arrayed in white robes whence they came. And I said unto them, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they, oh, hallelujah, praise thou God. These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Yes, there won't be no Baptist there. There won't be no Presbyterian there. There won't be no Catholic there. There won't be no undenom there. There won't be no occult there. The only ones that will be there are those that have washed their blood in the Lamb. And the Lamb's blood is the only blood that can sanctify their soul. It was by the shedding of blood that men can come to Jesus. It's by the shedding of blood that men can be sanctified. It is the shedding of the blood that men can say, hallelujah, salvation has come. It's the blood that the only one can talk about. The blood is those that can say, I've been redeemed, I've been redeemed, I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Can you say that tonight? Mm-hmm. I've been washed in the crucified one. I've been cleansed and sanctified. I've been glorified. I've been edified. I've been cleaned by the blood of the Lamb. And he said this, therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in the temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell, shall dwell among them. And he said in the 16th verse, and they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sunlight on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them into living waters of God and wipe away all tears from their eyes. No more crying, no more dying, no more being spiked by the sun, no more killing, no more hate, no more sin to deal with through eternity. No more racial strife, no more marching, no more burning down buildings, no more street gangs, and no more of it. God is going to wipe it from the face of the earth, and sin and the devil and his angels and all those that will follow Satan and die and go to hell will be cast away from God in eternal lake of fire and burn. Lord have mercy, I don't want you to burn. I don't want you to go to hell. And burn, don't go. And burn, repent and turn to Jesus Christ. Because you're going to go if you don't come to Christ. You're going to go. You cannot say you're going to go and you haven't been redeemed. If you haven't come to Christ, you need to come to Christ tonight. You need to make up in your mind. Now, this ain't no hallelujah jumping, hooping preaching, but this is preaching and teaching. Don't fool yourself. Don't let the devil fool you. Don't let the devil tell you that you can get to heaven off of your mama, your daddy, your sister's salvation. You can't. Well, I've been good, or I've been bad, or I thank God ought to let me in anywhere. He can't. He cannot let you in. If God let one sinner, you hear what I said? If God let one sinner enter the kingdom of God, he's got to let everybody else, because he's a just God. But because he's a just God, he cannot let you in, because all the ones that get in must be born again. And if you are born again, then you can get in. But if you haven't been born again, you cannot get in. No. We're in that time now where people believe that the Bible is a storybook. They think God threw a couple words up in the air and let the Bible drop, and his word drop, and he didn't just say, whatever it go. No, God wrote the Bible through holy men, and they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is God in the Spirit, and he wrote through holy men. And the Bible is right anyhow. It's right all by itself. And the world has said, I don't believe until I see it. And then you're not going to believe it then. Because believing is not, seeing is not believing all the time. You done seen a lot of things that you believe it was this and it wasn't that. But here we dealing with something real serious. Hell is real serious. The devil is serious. The devil don't care nothing about you. He don't care nothing about babies. He don't care nothing about young teenagers. He don't care nothing about them. Don't even care nothing about himself. He hates himself. He can't repent. And he can't be redeemed. All the demons that follow him from heaven can't be redeemed. They are going straight to hell. Don't go with them. Don't go with them. You can be redeemed. You can be saved. You can be sanctified. You can be filled with the love of God. You can be on your way to heaven tonight. Wherever you are and whoever you may be. But Apostle Paul said in Romans 10 and 9. Let's see what Apostle Paul was talking about in the book of Romans. Romans 10 and 9 says that Jesus Christ is the way to salvation. 10 and 9. It says that if thou confess with thy mouth, confess it, admit it, say it, mean it, accept it. If thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thine heart, your spirit being, that God, nobody else but God, raise him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Repenting, broken spirit, confessing with your mouth, and believing with your heart, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all them that call upon him. And whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. My friend, this is the key to salvation. Plain as day. Plain as day. As small as you are and insignificant as you are and frail as you are and as great as God is, great is our faithfulness. Greater. Do you think it's a hard thing for him to save you? If you want to be saved, it is easy for God to save you if you repent and turn from your own little self, your own little self-righteous self, and have a broken heart that you have sinned against a holy God. And God cannot live with sin. He cannot work with sin. He cannot compromise with sin. The only way that you can be saved is you want to be. I want Christ. I want to repent. I want to turn from my stuff that I'm doing. And I know it's dirty, it's rotten, it stinks, it's low down, and it's destructive. And the world loves it. The world loves sin. It wallows in it. It drinks it. But God hates it. And the best thing that he done was, he said, instead of me destroying the whole human race, I'm going to go down here on this planet, and I'm going to die. I'm going to die for the sins of man. I'm going to let myself be slain by wicked, adulterous vipers. Dogs are going to, men are like dogs. They're going to beat me and they're going to crucify me, and I'm going to let it be done, because this is the only way I can save man instead of just destroying him and going about my business. But I love my creation. I love humanity. And he done it. He done it. He done it. He done it so that you wouldn't have to die and go to hell for your own sins. Because your own sins are going to put you in hell. And what God wants to save, he wants to save your soul. That's what God wants. He wants your soul. He wants to live inside of you. He wants to take control of your life that you can one day live with him forever. But you can't live with him forever dying in your sins. You can't live with him forever dying in your own sins. You can't die for yourself. You can't work yourself righteous. You can't do nothing but repent and come to Jesus Christ tonight, because he's waiting for you. We are actually, absolutely, in the last hour, the last days, the last second, the last minute of the return of Christ, for he is coming soon. Morning, night, or noon, he is coming soon. I'm looking for him. I'm hoping for him. I'm rejoicing for him. I want him to come. And I also want to occupy till he comes. I also want to tell as many as I can and get next to the many as I can to let them know, hey, this is where it's at. This is where it's at. Jesus Christ is where it's at. I don't care if you Pentecostal. I don't care if you Catholic. I don't care if you Presbyterian. I don't care if you Lutheran. I don't care what denomination you call yourself to be under. I ain't worried about that. I ain't concerned about it. I'm concerned about salvation through Christ and him only. For in him I move and have my business. In him I hope. In him I rejoice. I cannot go to heaven right now in this body. I can't approach God in this body. This body is a sinful house. Not that I'm living in sin, but the sin in it is no good. It's just an earthly vessel. But I cannot come in the presence of God in this body. So I would have to have a transformation. I got to have a new body. I got to have a spiritual body. I got to have a blood. I got to have a body. I got to have a body without blood, without a heartbeat, without any kind of organs or anything. I got to have a spiritual body in order to live with a righteous, holy God. And the only one that can change my body. Listen to me what I'm saying. The only thing can change my body from this mortal body into immortality. Listen. Is the blood of Christ. Because there's power in the blood of Christ through the Holy Spirit. So, when the rapture comes and the trumpets blow, those that's in the grave will be changed. We that remain alive shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. We will have a spiritual body forever and ever and ever and ever. For eternity, no more flesh and blood. No more heartbeat. And that will put us in a position that there won't be no more crying, no more dying, no more killing, and no more murdering, and no more raping, and no more homosexuals, and no more lying and cheating and backbiting, no more incest in the family. It will be a spiritual family forever, and we will serve the Lord throughout eternity forevermore. Man, you talking about, I don't want to miss that. Oh, insert, if you miss heaven, you will have to live in hell and burn in hell forever in a body that's indestructible. You will burn forever. For what? Why, God, you won't put me in hell? Well, God ain't gonna put, don't want to put you in hell. You went to hell by what? You refused to come to Christ. Oh, I went to church. That's good, but you refuse Christ. Oh, I paid my tithes. You refuse Christ. Oh, I'm good, but you refuse Christ. So you got to pay forever for your own sins. You can't die in hell. No water in hell. No picnics. No football, no basketball, no sports world. You got to suffer for your sins, and you ain't going to run out of time because it's going to be timeless. You're going to have all your senses. You'll see in hell, hear in hell, smell in hell, taste in hell. You'll have a memory in hell. You'll know who you are. You'll know what happened. You'll know exactly what happened. And you will say, oh, my God, what a fool I was. Why didn't somebody tell? Well, Brother Bazaar is trying to tell you right now. Brother Bazaar is trying to tell you through the Holy Spirit. By the grace of God, don't die without him. Don't die without Jesus. Let the world know who you are. If you're a Christian, say you're a Christian. If you confess it with your mouth. Believe with your heart. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven because God loved me so much and he died for me and I'm going to repent and I'm going to come to Christ. I don't care what my mama said, my daddy said, my boyfriend said, whatever said. I don't care if I'm a drug addict. What? I want Jesus. I don't care if I'm a homosexual. I want Jesus Christ in my life. I don't care what. Yeah. Because when you come to Christ, you're going to leave. You're going to leave that homosexual tendency. You're going to leave that hormonal tendency. You're going to leave that adultery tendency. You're going to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You saved me from sin, death, hell, and the grave. Oh, yes, you're going to praise me. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. I wasn't hatched from under a rock, and I wasn't born last night. Jesus Christ has saved me today. And if you want to be saved, I already don't give you the formula. And he's ready for you. This is Elder Bazaar. I'm here tonight taking my time talking to you. I'm here tonight to let you know that my heart is heavy. Heavy for souls that I can reach somebody. And I'm here to tell you right now, please get ready. Get ready in your bedroom, whether you're on the street, whether you're in your friend's house. Get ready. All the little party you're doing and all the good times you may be having, get ready. Because party time is almost over. Because when the rapture comes, the world is going to go into a chaotic condition. And I'm going to show you how bad it's going to get. Before Christ comes back to the earth. In the 13th chapter of Revelation, we see the initiation of the beast and the false prophet and the world computer that will control mankind. For the last 3.5 years, the men will not be able to buy or sell unless they receive a mark. I'm going to go real slow, so listen very carefully. 13th chapter says, and I stood up on the sands of the sea, And I saw a beast rise up out of the sea. John said, I stood up on the sands of the sea. The sands of the sea represent humanity. Remember that. The sands of the sea represent humanity. And I saw the beast rise up out of the sea. Humanity. When he rises up out of the sea of humanity, having seven heads, he has seven heads. The seven heads represents the seven world empires. The seven world empires is Egypt, the Assyrian Empire, Median Persian Empire, Grecian Empire, and the Roman Empire. You got that? The seven heads are the seven world empires that's past and gone, but the same ancient wicked spirits that was in ancient time, in medieval time, and in the modern time, these same spirits, wicked demons and devils, are reconstructing the last world empire. And here comes the last world empire. Called the Roman Roman Empire, which the modern day is the New World Order. This is the seven heads. And then he said, I saw 10 horns. The 10 horns represent, very carefully listen to what I'm saying. The 10 horns represent the modern day New World Order, revive Rome, revive Rome. In the book of Daniel, he speaks of 10 toes, 10 horns, 10 kings, and 10 crowns. These 10 represent world denomination. In other words, they 10 horns will control the New World Order. These New World Order's toes and horns and kings and crowns came into power. Now, this is what I'm saying, because this, I'm going back in history and prophetic history and bring it forth. 10 horns represent the 10 European common market nations that came into existence in 1948, the first three. The first three came into existence in 1948 was Denmark, Britain, and Ireland. That's the first three. 1948, I was 4 years old. I didn't know nothing about this. And since I was 4 years old, I grew up in the church. I grew up going to church. I grew up studying the Bible. I grew up with a family that my dad was a Baptist preacher. My mother was a missionary. And they was teaching this when I was coming up in church. But I couldn't understand it because I wasn't old enough, or I didn't see it come into form. But see, this year didn't come into form until 1948. In 1948, I was 4 years old. That was the first three nations that came in that John the Revelator saw with the 10 horns. And to finish that off, it said 10 horns, and up on the horns, 10 crowns. Crowns represent authority. And up on his head, the name blasphemy. That means anti-God. This is the anti-God system. This is a hedonistic anti-God system. New World Order is anti-God. 1948, Denmark, Britain, and Ireland. Okay, in 1952, three more came. That was Ireland, Netherlands, Belgium, and Luxembourg. That's three right there. 1952. 1952. I still didn't know nothing about it. 1952. 1948, I was 4. 1952, I was about 12 years old. I'm moving on up now. I'm coming down through the annals of time. That's six. From 1948 to 1952, that was six countries that joined NATO, the New World Order, the One World Government was forming at that time. In 1973, I was called to preach in 1965. So 1973, I've seen something that I've never seen before, and I've seen where 1948 until 1973, the forming of the New World Order was in place. And in 1973, West Germany, France, Italy and West Germany, France, and Italy came in, which made nine tolls that were in place. And from 1973 to 1981, Greece came in, which made 10 tolls. 10 tolls in 1981, I was preaching the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I seen these tolls, I seen these horns, I seen these kings, I seen these crowds. I said, praise God, I see where this kingdom is forming. From 1981, I had the two tolls. That was the forming of the New World Order of the Ten Crowns, and it was coming on down to the ten tolls until Daniel saw another little horn. Lord have mercy. Look at this. Look at this. He said, I saw another little horn come up amongst the other ten horns, because he switched from toes to horns, because a man don't have 11 toes, so he went to a horn, which were up a separate, which means the 11th horn. The 11th horn was different from all the other horns. And these other horns didn't have eyes, didn't have a mouth, but this 11th horn came up amongst him, and Daniel said, I saw that this horn was a little horn, and it was weaker than the other 10 horns, but this horn had eyes and spoke great things against the Most High. Well, who in the world has a nerve enough to speak great things against the Most High? Who in the world speak against God and blaspheme God? This horn represents the horn in which the Antichrist would come. The 11th horn is the horn that the Antichrist would come. And when he comes, he will come with eyes and had a mouth, showing that he had intelligence. And this horn, a king will come out of the 11th horn, and the king would be the Antichrist. Lord, have mercy. Do you understand what I'm saying? What country is the 11th horn? What country that came up amongst the other 10 horns as Daniel spoke? What horn came up? Well, good God Almighty, the 11th horn that came up, Spain. Spain is the only horn that came up amongst the other 10 horns. And out of Spain will come the Antichrist. Out of Spain will come the son of perdition. Out of Spain will come the willful king. Out of Spain will come the wicked one. Out of Spain will come the Antichrist that will be ready at the time of 2022. The Antichrist's name, what's his name?
His name is King Felipe. Who is he? He is the king of Spain. He became king in 2014. Ooh, it's 2022 now. That's about 7 years ago. His father was king, but he got too old, and there was a whole lot of rigmarole going on, and he was doing some wicked things. So by him being at the age he was, and he had corrupted himself, and he said that he would give the throne to his son. And his son's name is King Felipe. He stands at 6'6". Got six letters in his name. His whole name has three names, and each name has six letters. He's alive today. He's waiting in Spain, waiting for an event to happen before he can be revealed to the world. But to the prophetic world, to those that are seeking the scripture, those that know God, those that are praying, those that live a sanctified life, God will reveal it to them if they are in the right spirit and can accept the inspiration word of God. He was born in 1968. He is now 54 years old. He'll be 55 years old January the 30th, 2023. This is what John the Revelator was revealing to us in the 13th chapter of Revelation. The 10 horns, 10 European common markers. And the 11th horn is the horn in which the Antichrist will come. That's the first verse in Revelation 13. Second verse, as we hurry on, and the beast, which I saw, was like a leopard. Because before he becomes the beast, he is the Antichrist. He don't become the beast until after the resurrection of the faith, resurrection that the Antichrist going to do, because he's going to get shot and he's going to be raised from the dead. Then he becomes the beast. And the beast will have 10 horns on his head, and he will follow the seven heads and the 10 horns. He will be in control of the 10 horns and the seven empires, because these empires don't exist today, but the spirit of ancient demonic activity has the same category as they did in ancient time, and they are using it in the modern time. Listen what it says. It says, and the beast which I saw was like a leopard, meaning that he will be swift. He will be swift. And his feet were like the feet of a bear, meaning that he will be vicious. He will be the devil himself incarnated. And his mouth, the mouth of a lion. He will have great authority and his power and his seat of great authority. So this is a complete compact that is called modern terminology, the New World Order. It's not new. It's new to this generation, but it's a former past generation that the same generation that used it in that generation is using it, because it's new to those that just got here. Oh, my God. Listen what it says. And it says, the dragon gained power and his seat of great authority. Here comes the miracle. Here comes the greatest miracle that will ever be done through Satan to deceive the world. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And that all means majority of the world will wonder after the beast because of the resurrection that he will do under false disguise, because he wants to do a fake resurrection like
but to imitate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because when the people see that he was dead once, and he was dead for 3 days, and he be resurrected after Lucifer, amen, incarnates himself in him. And when he incarnates himself in him, he will become the only time that the devil ever resurrected a human being. Come on. Come on. And the world would say, oh, this man is God Almighty. This man is God Almighty. And this man now is on the earth. And by him being on the earth, we only got a short time for him to appear. So when he appears, he will appear after the rapture. But he won't become the beast until the middle of the tribulation period. Now listen what it says. And I saw one of his head as he was wounded to death, and the deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power to the beast, that they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like the beast, and who is able to make war with him? There will be no man upon the planet, no man upon the planet can withstand the power of Satan. No man can defeat the Satan on his own. There's no man can tell the devil what to do and how to do it. Why? Because he's a beastly animal. He is a sick, warped cherubim. He is doomed for devil's hell forever, and no man will be able to withstand him. The only man, the only man, the only man, the only God man, the only one that I know that took Calvary's cross, the only one that dropped his head between the locks of his shoulder and gave up the ghost, the only one that got up from the grave with all power in heaven and earth, the only man that went back to heaven and sent the Holy Ghost for over 2,000 years, the Holy Ghost has been working on the earth, the only man that's coming back with power and great glory will be able to defeat the Antichrist and the beast. My friend, this is the word of God. This is God using my lips of clay, trying to express to you what the 10 horns were and what the 10 crowns were. This is the end time beast that's on the earth today, but he's in the earth, the man. He's not the beast. He's the Antichrist. He's anti-God. And I'm going to close with this. He's here. He's in Spain. He'll be here soon. But he can't come until the rapture. The only thing holding him back now is the church. But when the church leaves, he will come on the scene as a peacemaker. He will make Donald Trump. He will make Barack Obama. He will make all these 45 presidents that we done had in the United States look like Minnie Mouse. He will be a superhuman energized by Lucifer, the devil, and he will rule the world for 7 years. Don't be here when the Antichrist comes. Be with Jesus. Hallelujah! Be with Jesus. Why don't you come now? This is Elder Bazaar. Confess with your mouth. Believe with your heart. And let me tell you, if you get saved tonight, God will lead you through the Holy Spirit exactly what to do if you accept him. If you accept him, God will lead you to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost.